Hello, welcome to the DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at Life Point in Westerville. This past week, we started a series called Too Good to Be True, where we're saying that the gospel is better than your wildest dreams. I was sharing a passage from Mark 2. Let me read it to you. Mark 2, verse 3, it says this, "And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down on the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" You know, the first thing I just wanted to point out about that is that Jesus noticed the incredible faith of these four men. I want you to imagine the situation that Jesus is teaching in a house where, you know, his fame has been growing. People are starting to talk. It's starting to spread. This rabbi is healing people. He teaches with boldness, and everybody wanted to hear him. So the room in which he's teaching is packed. It's wall-to-wall people. You can't get in. And these four guys are carrying this paralytic, and they are determined to get him in front of Jesus. So they see the crowds. They go up on the roof. They start peeling back the tiles and ripping apart the roof, and they lower this guy in right there in front of Jesus. Now imagine you're there in the crowd, and you see this whole thing happen. I mean, it was really quite the sight, I'm sure. And Jesus says something that's just really incredible. He sees the faith of the men and says to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, in that culture, if you were a paralytic or you were sick or blind or had leprosy, oftentimes people thought that was God's judgment on your life because you've sinned. And Jesus sees that he's paralyzed, but he says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." This would have, even though it wasn't that man's probably first wish, it was the thing he needed most. Even for the community alone to say to, you know, that this man is free from his sin, that is an incredible thing just for his standing in the community, but mostly just for his own soul. Now, eventually he does heal the man. He lets the man, tells him to get up and walk, and he does. But I just wanted to think about, you know, those four guys that, you know, they would do anything to get this guy in front of Jesus. And that's really challenging. You know, for someone like me who's a follower of Christ, sometimes I don't really, I don't really work that hard to get others in front of Christ. You know, making an invite for someone to go to church or trying to bring up the gospel with somebody, you know, it's something I do kind of happenstance. Like, it's just, you know, something I might do. But I know clearly how important Jesus is, what he does for someone's soul, what he can do for their marriage, what he can do for their life, what he can do for their parenting, what he does for their future. I know what he's capable of. I've felt it firsthand, and I've seen it in so many of my friends' lives. I think it's very challenging. We know when I was studying that passage, just, you know, how seriously do I take this for the people around me who don't know the Lord? But you know, that story, what happens is there's some religious leaders there, and they absolutely get upset with Jesus. You know, how can you say that you can forgive this man's sins? They know that only God alone can forgive sin. And they're highly upset, and they're angry, and they're saying this is heresy, and, you know, he's blaspheming, all these things that, you know, that they're thinking. And, you know, they could have had another reaction, which is simply this, that, you know, only God forgives sins. Jesus forgave sin. Therefore, he must be God. You know, that would have been one conclusion. But they had already made up their mind about who Jesus was or who God must be. And this didn't fit their whole paradigm. You know, there are times when I think it's easy for us to, you know, to take grace for granted. That God sent his son down to us, and we receive the grace of God. And this was an aggressive grace. I mean, Jesus was absolutely forgiven this man, but you notice the man didn't do anything. It's not like the guy was begging him, "Hey, please forgive me, please forgive me. I promise I'll do this, this, and this. I'll go to church, I'll write checks." He wasn't doing any of that. He just showed up, and yet Jesus gave him his grace. That's something that's really beautiful. And I think one of the things that sometimes get in the way is for other people is that we become religious to them. We start to kind of police their behavior more than we offer them grace. And that was a real challenge, I think, too, from the passage. The beauty of the story and the challenge of the story is something that I think it's really too good to be true that God would send his own son to come down and heal us of our sin first and foremost. That's amazing. So wherever you're at, I just ask you to consider that. Lord, I just want to thank you for being a God that sees our biggest need, that we need to be forgiven of sin, that our souls need to be made right with you. All the things that we think that we need, God, that is first and foremost the biggest. And the fact that you give it to us is just such a testimony to your amazing grace. We thank you, Lord. Maybe just take a second just to remind your own soul and to tell the Lord how thankful you are for his grace. Well, thank you so much for being part of the Drivecast today. Till next time, take care.